sleep.
Last fall in Chicago, there was a major hotel contract fight, which got to the point where the governor of Illinois intervened and forced both sides to discuss and negotiate. And finally, there wasn't really a strike, but an important contract victory that was won by hotel employees and restaurant employees, Local 1, here in Chicago. And Lars Nagstedt, who I'm talking with today, was one of the leaders of that campaign. And now, in June of 2003, the hotel workers in Chicago are in another battle, and it's kind of related to that one last fall. And Lars, first of all, you know, thank you very much for giving us some of your time. And then if you can talk a little bit about last fall briefly and how it's related to what's happening today with the Congress Hotel.
Sure. Thanks, Larry. Glad to be here today. The workers at the Congress Plaza Hotel have always worked under the same contract, essentially, as all the other hotels in downtown Chicago. There were about 28 hotels, close to 7,000 workers, covered under that association contract, which expired on August 31st last year at midnight. So there was a lot of drama as we built up towards a potential strike because, as many people recall, the Chicago hotel workers were paid among the lowest in the nation of any major unionized city. And so there were major gains to be made, and it was a great campaign, very high profile, and we won the best contract improvements ever in the history of hotel unionism, as far as anybody can tell. So the issue at the Congress Plaza Hotel is that although the contract was identical, the only thing that was different about it was that it expired 4 months later. So the contract expired on December 31st. The owners of the hotel have chosen not to be a part of the Hotel Industry Association, but to bargain on their own. We started bargaining in early December, and negotiations went on for 6 months. The owners at the Congress, rather than offering any wage increase, actually opened with a 25% wage cut. And they came up to a 7% wage cut, and that's where they stuck. They, after several months of bargaining, declared impasse and implemented their final offer, including that 7% wage cut. We believe the way they went about implementing that final offer and declaring impasse was illegal, and we're filing charges about that. And in addition to that, they've refused to pay increased premiums on the health care insurance, which effectively eliminates health care and pension coverage for the workers. And they've also reserved the right to subcontract out any operation in the hotel whatsoever. So the workers are under attack. There's no question that they have no choice but to fight. And it's been a great battle. The workers at the Congress Hotel are amazing. It's about 130 people in the workforce, which is very small for such a large hotel. This is an 850-room hotel, historic property. It was built in 1893 during the Columbian Exposition, and it's right on Grant Park across from Buckingham Fountain there.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I was over there and shooting some videotape for the Labor Beat show, which is on cable TV, and I thought it was a very good demonstration, a show of solidarity. Everybody was in a very good mood in the sense that the hotel workers feel very strong today because of the tremendous performance last fall. And HERE, as I'm sure you would agree, is a much stronger union today than it was several years ago. What is the Congress Hotel thinking of when they offer not only, I mean, it was a provocation to say that we're going to give you less. Well, what do you think what's going on in their minds?
We wish we knew. We wish there was some way to tell. This is an ownership that, to use an old phrase, doesn't play well with others. They don't seem to be part of the hospitality community of Chicago. It's a limited partnership that owns it. The main investor behind it is a guy named Albert Nasser out of New York, who is not a hotelier. He's a businessman involved in textile manufacturing. He's got operations all over the world, in the Philippines and in Africa and in Latin America. And he imports ladies' undergarments and children's wear that he then markets to various retailers here in the United States. So they're not really part of the Chicago community, and they don't feel accountable to the Chicago community, apparently. And it's a mystery to us why they would pick this fight. But it's, you know, what is clear is that we have no choice not only to back up the workers in that hotel, but all the other hotel workers feel that this fight is their fight. Actually, we took an oath at our last membership meeting where everybody repeated that, this fight is my fight, I pledge to make the Congress strike my strike. And so, if you know, because if the Congress can get away with it, then anybody will try it. And so that's why we're absolutely determined to be out there as long as it takes, and one day longer than the Boskin fight.
Well, since the attacks against the World Trade Center a couple years ago and the drop in travel and the problems in the travel industry, what kind of condition is the hotel industry in today generally, and how does this relate to what's happening at the Congress?
The industry's in a pretty bad spot. It's recovering somewhat from the immediate post 9/11 fallout, but still it's the continuing recession. I mean, the economy in general is in the dumps, right? So it's not a great spot for the industry to be in. That being said, hotels in Chicago are coming off of some banner years, 97, 98, 99, and 2000. Each year just increased incredibly. The amount of revenues and the room rates that we're charging were going up, leading to some record profits. And you know, and all through that time, labor costs were stagnant, and essentially. So the hotel owners were getting away with murder for quite a while. Now they're having to, you know, pay a little bit more in labor costs. It's substantially more than they were paying before, but it's still not nearly as much as hotels in San Francisco and New York City, even as a percentage, even as you compare it versus the room rates and the types of revenues that are coming in off these properties.
Well, we're moving into the tourist season now in Chicago, and I'm wondering, how full are the other hotels, and how competitive are they vis-a-vis the Congress? If the service there is substandard, people, when travelers, when they come to Chicago and they're looking for a hotel, are going to be able to get better service at other hotels, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this June is the busiest month for Chicago hotels. May and June kind of peak, and then there's another peak in September and October with a lot of group meetings and trade shows and conventions. I don't have the occupancy figures at my fingertips, but there's plenty of alternatives. We think that the Congress books a lot of budget-minded customers because the rates are somewhat lower than other comparable properties. We've been in contact with websites, internet booking sites, which are increasingly becoming a big generator of room nights for these hotels. And some of them, including the biggest ones, Expedia.com and Travelocity.com, have agreed to notify everyone who books through them about the strike. And we are working, because the service levels suffer, we believe they'll be able to pull the Congress off their listing. They have an interest in not placing people into a hotel that's on strike because the service stinks and because the customers would have to cross a picket line to stay there. And so we're going to increase that campaign to other websites, and we've also been in touch with all the trade shows and conventions that are coming into town to work with them to get people rebooked.
Well, you're getting into an area about talking about support for the strike. What sort of local community support and support from other unions, again, harkening back to the kind of support that you had last fall, are you getting now in this Congress strike?
It's been great so far. Last fall we did the, and last summer we launched a food drive called Hungry for Justice, which was a campaign to collect food so that if we went on strike, striking workers wouldn't go hungry. We collected over 8 tons of food. The Teamsters Local 705 donated space at Teamster City for us to stockpile that food. And we had over 160 community organizations, churches, local politicians, and other unions collecting food for us. That support and that goodwill has really carried over into this strike. We're not collecting food in the same way, but we are getting the word out. We've already been in contact with the Teamsters and electricians and the other unions about the strike, and they've agreed not to cross the line, of course, including the Teamster drivers that collect the garbage. And I know a number of labor leaders have reached out to offer support. We have the picket line's up 24 hours a day, and with only 130 workers, that means the coverage is pretty thin on some shifts of the workers there. So getting some community and labor support from other groups is really important to keep the morale up on the picket line. Already, just in the last couple of days, we've seen Jobs with Justice come out. Citizen Action is out right now, I believe, this morning, supporting the picket line. And we're planning a big labor rally on Wednesday, July 2nd, which is during the Taste of Chicago. Letters going out to all the CFL affiliates that the CFL is sending out to their list on our behalf. And we'll be doing other community support actions out there to give people an opportunity to show their support for the Congress strikers.
Well, that gets us to actually a final point in just a minute we have left. Is Lars, can you tell us how our listeners can support what you're doing there, how to get in touch with HRE Local 1, the kind of things that maybe even if our listeners aren't members of a union, that they might be able to do and support?
Sure, that'd be great. We have a website up that has some basic information about the strike. It's www.congresshotelstrike.info. That's .info. It's one of the new suffixes, just to make it clear. People are used to typing in .com or .org. So it's congresshotelstrike.info. So there's some there's a sign up there for email updates. We are soliciting donations for the strike fund that can be mailed here. Our address is on the website. And then coming out for the actions, for picketing even for an hour, check in with the picket captain, let them know who you are and why you're out supporting them. Just stopping by the picket line, giving people a word of encouragement is a really big boost. And then as we move forward and need to escalate the pressure on the company, we will be figuring out other ways that people can support us. When we figure out where they market their textiles, for example, we might go after customers at a, you know, letting an informational campaign at certain retailers and things like that to help out.
Okay, good. Well, that's a lot of useful information. Well, I've been talking with Lars Nekstad of HRE Local 1, the hotel workers here in Chicago, and he's been telling us about the strike at the Congress Hotel. So again, thank you very much, Lars.
Thank you, Larry.